Well, it's really lovely to see you all this morning. Thank you for joining us in worship. And as Chris said, it'd be really great if as many of you as possible could stay on afterwards. I have here my jammy Dodger biscuits ready for later. And I've kept them in my eye line this morning because of the red love heart right in the middle, because today we're going to be looking about love. So I'm going to keep them on my plate so I can see them in the background as we're just chatting and sharing together this morning to remind us of this. I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love, says God. With unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. Isn't it great to know this morning that we've been loved with an everlasting love and that God wants to draw us to himself? So as we share together, I just pray this morning that as we're together, we just allow God to just speak to us as we just share in some songs and we just share a thought together a little later. So let me just bring us together in prayer to start, and then we will share our first song together. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that no matter where we are, we can still come together and just do church. And Lord, this morning I just pray that your love will surround us. Your Holy Spirit will just move amongst us in our houses where we are. And although we're not together physically, we know that where two or three are gathered, however they're gathered, in your name, you will be there in our midst. So this morning, Father, I pray you will just be with us, encourage us, and just give us something new and fresh from you as we just seek your face. Amen. Let's join together and share in our first song this morning. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Here I am to worship.
Oh my God.
Simon's coming now to just share some prayers with us.
Shall we pray? Lord God, help us now to settle our minds and our hearts as we draw closer to you. You promise where two or three meet, you will be there. On this Valentine's Day, Lord, we are reminded that you said the greatest gift of all is love. Your love for us, Lord, and the world that we live in. There has never been a time of more need for your love, Lord. We're reminded not of the love between us, Lord, but the love you showed when you sent your Son to die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. Not just for one day of the year, Lord, but for every day of every year and forever. We bring to you today the wider world around us and the pandemic we find ourselves in. Help us to show your love to the world, Lord. We particularly pray for our frontline and key workers. We thank you for their dedication to their work at what must be a particularly challenging and difficult time. We remember that there has never been a time of more need for your love, Lord. We think too of those who have lost loved ones at this time and who mourn, for those who have lost jobs and are worried for the futures, for those in isolation, scared and alone. Help us, Lord, to reach out and meet these people in their time of need. You are a God of love. Help us to show this love to others. There has never been a time of more need for your love, Lord. We pray too, Lord, for the leaders of our country, for the discussions that make that for the decisions that they make on our behalf, Lord, for the discussions they have. We pray that they may know your wisdom and that they will guide the country, Lord, in your ways. The decisions that they make will be steered by you. With so many people and businesses struggling, Lord, there has never been a time of more need for your love, Lord. Father God, we pray for the wider global church at this time. We pray for guidance and for understanding. We pray that we as Christians can show your love today and every day, Lord. Looking closer to home, Father, we think of our own town, for the needs of our community, for those stuck in their homes, unable to get out or see friends and family, Lord. Lord, help us to reach out and share your love with these people. A phone call, a letter, or a message to share your love with them. We thank you for the witness that goes on around the town, Lord, for the help and encouragement given so freely, for prayers offered up in love. There has never been a time of more need for your love, Lord. We pray too for our church family. Unable to meet in person, Lord, we pray for each other, that your love will bind us together, that we will encourage and support each other, Lord. The church is now entering a new phase in its life, and we are currently without a full-time minister. We pray for the deacons and leaders of the church, Lord, that they will feel the presence of you and know your will for us, Lord, as a church. I pray too, Lord, for the congregation, for those on the fringes who may have lost contact with us and we with them, especially over the last 12 months. We pray that they too will know your love today and feel your presence and our thoughts and prayers. And so we pray that the love, that your love, will be seen in all we do and say, Lord. Help us to see the needs around us and to show your love in action. Amen.
Yeah. Thank you, Simon. Lynn's going to come now and she's going to share, not surprisingly, a reading this morning based all about love. Thanks, Lynn.
This morning's reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 to 13 from the New Living Translation. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures throughout every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Now our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when the time of perfection comes, these partial things will become useless. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I now know is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love.
Thanks, Lynn. What a fantastic chapter that is, isn't it? These three things remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. I just want to spend a few minutes this morning talking about that love. Today, being Valentine's Day, is a day when people show their undying love for each other by sending a card or a gift. And you may have even received or given something yourself. So many different ways to simply say, I love you. Here are a few. If you live to be 100, I want to live to be 100 minus one day, so I never have to live without you. That's Winnie the Pooh that said that. Everything I do it for you, sung by Bryan Adams. I think I'd miss you, even if we never met, taken from The Wedding Date. And Zelda Fitzgerald said, I've tried so many times to think of a new way to say it, and it's still, I love you. And of course, there's our passage for today. Then over the next few weeks, as we move towards the greatest love story ever told, Easter, we're going to look at what it really means to love. Not a superficial outpouring of emotions, but a deep, spiritual way of how we should strive to love others. A glimpse of how God loves us. So, to put today's scripture passage into context, Paul has been writing in chapter 12 about spiritual gifts and us all having our part to play in the body of the church. He then seems to break his chain of thought by reminding the church at Corinth that without love, all these things were completely meaningless. Maybe the church had taken its eye off the ball and was so preoccupied with being spiritual, they'd forgotten the basics. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, that's not to say the use of spiritual gifts, like speaking in tongues, prophecy, gifts of healing, etc., are worthless. On the contrary, Paul urges us towards the end of chapter 12 to earnestly seek them, and we should. However, we need to ensure our motives are in the right place, which he goes on to explore in the next chapter. So Paul finishes chapter 12 by saying, "Now let me show you a way of life that is best of all." And what a cliffhanger. If that was the end of a series we're watching on the telly or listening to on the radio, "Now let me show you a way of life that is best of all." Wouldn't you want to see the next part, see what's coming up next, what the next chapter was? Well, we've read it this morning. And so Paul spends a whole chapter talking about love before again resuming his discourse on spiritual gifts in chapter 14. He begins the first three verses of chapter 13 telling us about how empty everything is without love, before describing what the Christian type of love looks like in practice. And what a list it is. Love is patient, is kind, rejoices in the truth, always hopeful, endures through all circumstances, does not demand its own way, is not jealous, not boastful, not proud, not rude, not irritable, keeps no record of wrongs, doesn't rejoice in injustice, never gives up, never loses faith. This type of love is a love that lasts forever. Now, can we say we're always practicing this type of love towards one another? It's a pretty tall order, given the list, isn't it? I know I fall short many times. And maybe that's partly why Paul then goes on to explain in verses 8 to 12 that, unlike God, we don't see things perfectly. We're a fallen human being. But the hope we have in that one day when we get to heaven and see our Jesus face to face, we will know everything completely, just as God now knows us completely. Three times in the opening verses of this chapter, Paul uses the phrase, "But if I didn't love others," reinforcing the importance of this fundamental godly principle. Verse 1. "If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal." You see, without love, everything we say is just noise. This is such a timely reminder of how much our words matter. Even phrases such as "I love you" can be empty and meaningless, especially if the love we're trying to emulate is supposed to adhere to the love expressed in this chapter. And that's just speech in our earthly languages. When we also consider the languages of angels, which could refer to speaking in tongues here, even then it could just be noise if our primary motive is not love. And you know, this reminds me of a story in Matthew's gospel when the Pharisee, who thought he was so super spiritual, whilst in the temple praying, he proclaimed, "Thank you, God, that I'm not like these other people, tax collectors, sinners, adulterers. I pay my tithes. I fast so much." And on the other hand, you have the tax collector, and all he could manage was, "Oh God, be merciful to me, for I'm a sinner." And we've all sinned and fallen way short of what God expects from us. Something I know I needed to be reminded of from time to time, especially when I get the urge to say or even think, "I'm so glad I'm not like these people." So what about verse 2? "If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing." Again, we are warned about how we are using the spiritual gifts the Holy Spirit has given us such as prophecy, words of knowledge and faith. And here things are much more subtle, as we can indeed have a God-given word for someone or some insight into a specific circumstance. But if it's not wrapped in love, then what does it say? I am nothing. Our motives, you know, are so important. And it's really easy to take our eyes off what really matters, especially when we think God is using us for something in particular. So the third verse, this seems to talk about giving. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Even here, we can give them our finances, our time, our talents, and even give these sacrificially until it hurts. But without love, you know, we spiritually gained nothing. This love must surely then be something worth exploring. We only have to look at the life of Jesus to see this kind of love in action in all characteristics and see the impact it had on the lives that Jesus came into contact with. In fact, this love is still impacting lives today, you and me included. John 13:35 says, "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Or as the message puts it, "when they see the love you have for one another." Practicing this type of love described by Paul to the church in Corinth can't help but get us noticed, because it's not a worldly type of love. It's much purer than that. You can't think this type of love. You have to show it. A hit song covered by Wet, Wet, Wet in 1994 starts with these lyrics. "I feel it in my fingers. I feel it in my toes." Oh, that's enough of that. Enough of that. And it goes on to say, "love is all around me. And so the feeling grows. It's written on the wind. It's everywhere I go. So if you really love me, come on and let it show." I wonder if we ever feel like that when we think about God's love. You know, feeling it everywhere we go, having it completely surrounding us. As Colossians 3:14 says, "above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony." Above all, that makes it important, right? Clothe yourselves. We need to put on love, to enfold and surround ourselves in it. And if we do that, it keeps us all as a fellowship united and working together for all that God has for us. My hope is that over the next few weeks, we begin to get a deeper glimpse of what this love looks like for our lives. Ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate you and show you how to become more Christ-like and less me-like. The chapter finishes with Paul telling us that our greatest virtue should be love. Why? Because it's the very nature of God himself. His love is beyond our complete understanding, but it is something we can allow into our lives to change us and mold us into becoming more like Jesus. Love is not something we practice just on Valentine's Day, shown by simply a card or a gift, but it should be practiced every day. Let's continue to read God's Valentine card to us, the Bible, where we see messages of love written on every single page. Let's also accept the love gift of Jesus completely into our lives, allowing the Holy Spirit to fill us to overflowing, so we can in some small way emulate his love in our words and our actions towards others. I want to finish by just reading some words said by Jesus himself. This is one of his "I love yous" from John 15. "I have loved you, even as the Father has loved me," said Jesus. "Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I've told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I've loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves, because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends, since I have told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command. Love each other. Amen. Let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning that we can be reminded on this Valentine's Day of what it means to love. And Lord, it's a really tall order when we look at some of those characteristics to actually do that every day, to actually try and produce that type of love in our lives. And Lord, I know we can't do it on our own, but I know that with you, you can help us to emulate this love. And so, Lord, I just pray that as we, over the next few weeks, look at this love, I pray you will just help us to emulate that in our lives. Allow your Holy Spirit to shine through us as we go about our daily lives. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. We're going to finish this morning with a song that Beth is going to sing from Com Church. And I just pray this morning that as you listen to it, it's a really well-known song, that it will touch you and bless you.
Oh, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but
And so the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.